God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are in great need this morning of Thy Spirit, and we pray, oh God, that You would hear our humble, feeble prayers. God, how I pray that, Lord, You would enable me this morning to preach on this most excellent subject. In spite of my many weaknesses and infirmities, in spite of my inability to speak as I ought, I pray the Spirit of God would truly move in our midst. And I pray, O God, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted. And I pray that, God, You would just guide and direct in all that we say and do this morning in exalting Your Son. We pray that, God, You would open up the hearts of Thy children, that, God, we might receive these truths, Lord, deep into our affections, our hearts and our minds, that our entire being might be transformed, Father, that we might anew this morning see the glories and triumphs of Thy grace in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray, hear our prayer, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It was Octavius Winslow who once said, "We have need to be cautioned against an error into which some have fallen, that of exalting the work of Christ above the person of Christ." There had been no glory, he says, in His achievements, no significance in His work, no effectiveness in His blood, had there been no divine dignity and worth in His person. End of quote. Beloved, how true that is. So many speak well of His works, and yet so many show they know Him in person. To speak of Christ's glorious salvation and to speak of redemption and all the doctrines that entail our holy Christian faith is something anybody could actually do. And yet the question that we must ask ourselves before God is, do we know the person who has achieved all this? Are we in relationship with Him who is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person? For it is sin which has plummeted man into such dark ignorance of Christ's dignity and worth that Isaiah 53 says that he sees no beauty in Him. Notice that. No beauty in Him. That they should desire Him. And yet, beloved, so dark is this ignorance and so infinitely great Christ's person and dignity that even the very redeemed stumbled to sing His worth. An old gospel hymn which expresses that so clearly says this: "None among the sons of men, none among the heavenly train, can with Jesus then compare, none so sweet and none so fair." Listen to this: "Then my tongue would fain express all His love and loveliness, but I lisp and falter forth broken words, not half His worth." And closes the hymn with this: "Vexed I try and try again, still my efforts are all vain. Living tongues are dumb at best. We must die to speak of Christ." Beloved, that is just a wonderful description of the glories of Christ and our inability, even as the redeemed, to speak forth His praise and His worth and His dignity. Christ is truly altogether lovely. And yet it's hard for our stammering tongues to praise Him as we ought. We are in such need of divine grace to worship God in spirit and truth. If we knew just a fraction of the excellency of Jesus Christ, dearly beloved, we would fall humbly before the throne of grace as we approach the day of the Lord and say, God, give me grace to utter forth praise that is worthy of Thy excellent and worthy, dignified name. He is worthy of all our praise, and yet so often we give Him such lukewarm praise and worship. So often we give Him something that is far below what He's worthy of. There is a loveliness in Christ. There is a beauty in Christ. There is an excellency in Christ Jesus that should overwhelm our hearts and our souls as God's people. Let us then make much of the person and dignity of Christ. For in so doing we shall stand in greater wonder and awe and praise of His excellent works. We'll never understand the excellency of His works until we see them through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's easy to say, oh, I'm washed in the blood. But oh, if you knew that that blood flowed from the heart of the Son of God because of His worth and dignity and excellency, that blood would mean a whole lot more to you and I if we looked at it, examined it through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, to say that I have an eternal home in heaven is one thing, but to see that eternal home in heaven abiding with Christ forever makes that eternal home even more glorious and excellent. You see, so often we do look at the works of Christ without looking at them through the person of Jesus Christ, and yet that's what makes all His works so lovely and glorious and wonderful and enables us to praise Him as we ought. Who being in the brightness of His glory, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1, who being in the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and with upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Beloved, these are the glorious descriptions of the great dignity and worth of the one person by whom God speaks unto us today. Namely, the Son of God who is in the bosom of the Father and who Scripture says alone has declared, revealed, and made Him known. The Father is only declared through and by the Son, Jesus Christ. And beloved, we have a description of all those dignities and excellencies of Jesus Christ here in this one verse. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, said it well when he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Speaking of the excellencies of Jesus Christ, how God would manifest Himself through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And again, I exhort you this morning to give me your undivided attention because the subject is so immense and so infinite. I need to have you with me. If you lose train of thought this morning, you're going to miss us. The train's going to take off without you, and you're going to be wondering why you're left in the caboose, sitting on the train tracks. Because when you're talking about Christ, we've got to hang on every word because it is so infinitely great. And this text here is far beyond anything that we can comprehend in our finite minds without the Spirit of God. I was thinking to myself this morning on the way to church, my heart was broken and bleeding and pleading with God. Oh God, give us Christians again that love Christ supremely in such a way that it's reflected in everything that we say and do, in our character, our conduct, our loving one another. Give us Christians who exalt Christ to the extreme, who love Him supremely with all their hearts, their minds, and their souls. God, if that happens, we'll see true revival. We've got to uplift Christ so that He draws all men unto Himself. But we can never do that until Christ is uplifted in our own hearts and minds. Until we can say with our own voice and our own heart, He is to me, personally, altogether, lovely. How the things of the world would so grow so dim if we seen Christ in such a fashion. These things belong to Him and to Him only by whom God speaks. For He has appointed Him heir of all things concerning our salvation. That's what verse 2 says. Remember, appointed Him heir of all things concerning our salvation. Beloved, there's nothing more sweeter. There's nothing more comforting. There's nothing more glorious besides the doctrine of divine election, that God chose me and I didn't choose Him. Christ has been given this wonderful sovereign power, right, and authority to save whom He will. That's the gospel. What a glorious portion of the gospel. Salvation is of God. It's not of man. It's not for man. It's not because of man. It is of God. He's the author of it and the finisher of it. And Christ, because of what He suffered, has been appointed heir concerning salvation of men, and He calls whom He wills. And beloved, it's a glorious call. A call out of utter darkness. A call out of sin. A call away from the bondage of Satan. From the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's a glorious, powerful, sovereign call. And it's all because Christ has been appointed heir. Our Lord said it Himself in John chapter 17. He says He gives Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Did you ever look at that in John 17? He said God, His Father, has given Him power over all flesh. Why? That He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. You want a humbling thought? You want to really lose yourself in the deep things of God? Ask yourself deep in the side of your heart why God would call on you from the foundations of the world to receive such a glorious salvation. It is no merit of our own. It's simply because God the Son has chosen to do so. To give salvation to as many as He chooses. Hail, sovereign love. Oh, beloved, if we ever just got just a portion of that, there would be nothing but praise and worship on our lips. Christ is altogether lovely and glorious and excellent. As simple as the song might be, but it's still true. One look in His dear face, all sorrows shall erase. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Christ has sovereign power and authority to quicken dead sinners, to enlighten darkened minds, to open deaf ears, to soften hard hearts, to turn men from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That is what He's been appointed heir of. He can, will, and does all that concerning salvation. And beloved, this is great about the Son of God, by whom God speaks to us today. He is the brightness of God's glory and the express image, the perfect imprint, the very image of His person or nature. Verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Beloved, I again covet your prayers, but also this calls for great humility because we are walking on very holy ground when we're talking about the excellencies of Jesus Christ. He is the express image of God's person, His nature. What a glorious and amazing declaration. Especially in the light of Christ being appointed heir of all things and creator of the worlds. For with these glorious words now in verse 3, the apostle begins to describe how Christ displays such glorious salvation. In verse 2, he said He's appointed heir concerning salvation. He's created all the worlds because of this glorious salvation. Remember? The world is nothing but a theater, a display of Christ's glory and salvation. Verse 3 begins to declare unto us how Christ reveals this glorious salvation in the face of God. I want you to realize this. He's talking about something very intimate, very personal. He's not simply saying, well, Christ saved you, called you out of sin, gave you an eternal heaven. No, what he's talking about in verse 3, he says, now I want to show you how Christ reveals such a sovereign and glorious salvation. It is by showing you the brightness of God's glory and showing you the express image of God's person. When speaking of the blessed ministry of reconciliation, which is the grand object in the preaching of the gospel. Listen how Paul describes this. Listen how he describes this. You can look there if you want, but it's two passages of Scripture. I'd rather you just listen to me read it, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:18-21 and 2 Corinthians 4:5-6. But just listen concerning what I just said about how God, in verse 3, begins to describe, or the apostle describes, how Christ reveals this glorious salvation. Listen to the ministry of reconciliation that Paul speaks of. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to which, he begins to explain this ministry of reconciliation, listen to it in the light of Hebrews, to wit, that God was in Christ, brightness of His glory, express image of His person, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or person of Jesus Christ. You see how he explains the gospel? That's the gospel. God was in Christ, redeeming us unto Himself. Salvation is such an intimate, personal thing. And beloved, if you don't know anything about that intimacy and salvation, I pray, question yourself whether you know of salvation. This is eternal life. The essence, the very substance of eternal life, that they might know Thee. That's the very essence of it. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, when he says God has appointed him heir of all things concerning salvation, God has let him make all the world so he can display this glorious salvation. Verse 3 says this is how he reveals it. God manifests himself to us through Jesus Christ in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling us unto him. Beloved, an image is the likeness, representation, or figure of something or someone. It's the likeness. Yet the Bible says here Christ is the express or the exact image of God's person. What do you think he said to Philip? When Philip said, show us the Father, he said, have I been so long with you and you know not me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I am the brightness of His glory. I am the express, the exact image of His person. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because everything that you need to know about the Father is revealed in me. I am the express image of His person and the brightness of His glory. You see, when you tie these two verses together, and again, beloved, I pray that you would give much attention to that. But when you tie these two verses together, you see that being the express and exact image of God's person and heir of all things concerning our salvation, Christ alone possesses the power, the authority, and the divine dignity to represent to man the excellency of God's perfections concerning salvation. In other words, in simple terms, Christ says, I'm the only way that you're going to get to the Father. I'm the only way you can see the Father. I am the only one that can show you the Father. There's no other name given in heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. I am the only one that has the power, the authority, and the grace, and the dignity, and the excellency to show you my Father. And if you never see the Father in me, you'll never see salvation. What does that mean? Let me put it just simply this way for some of you who are confused or straddling the fence with that. If you don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, the Bible questions your salvation.
God was manifested in the flesh.
How can you reject the deity of Christ and say that you're saved by Christ when He is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person? It's impossible. Let the theologians debate as often as they want to. Any religion that denies the deity of Jesus Christ does not know what salvation is. Let me show you what... Let's let the Lord define that. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. I know some of these things are probably very difficult to understand, and maybe some of you are saying my spiritual fuses are getting overloaded, but I hope and pray that you take the time to think about it. Maybe listen to the message again. Maybe read Hebrews over again. Because, beloved, the things we're talking about today, like I said last week, a lot of things don't come on a silver platter. If you don't make the effort to know them of yourself, you'll walk away saying, it was all Chinese to me. Beloved, this is worth laboring over to know more of. If you think getting to know Christ in such a manner which Hebrews defines or declares unto us is something that you're going to learn in a 30-minute sermon, that's never going to happen. This is the problem with Christianity. They don't study the Scriptures. They have no idea what it is to study Scriptures. They have a minor devotion if they remember during the day. They have a short little prayer at meal, and that's about it. And yet, they wonder why their spiritual life, why their Christian life is so empty, so vain, so fruitless, so frustrating. And then the slightest little problems begin to trouble them. Like we said, they become introverted. And then it's all about problems and troubles. And the slightest things they begin to stumble over. But if Jesus Christ is placed supreme in our hearts, beloved, I'm telling you, everything else grows dim. And it's all about Him. It's all about Christ. But listen to this. Our Lord will explain it. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27, listen to this, and watch the context of this. I love this, and this is why every preacher should love preaching the gospel. Listen to this, verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of the Father. Sounds like an appointed heirship, don't you think? Hebrews chapter 1, all things are delivered me unto the Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. You see there? Distinction. There's no such thing as universal salvation. The Son says, you can only know the Father if I reveal it to you. But now watch what He says. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the gospel. Election, God calls, but the invitation is to all creatures. Come unto me. Christ says, you can only find the Father if you come to me. So therefore, come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden and burdened. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden light. What does He mean? I can give you that salvation that God has appointed me to give to every man. That salvation of from sin and condemnation, and I can bring you into that fellowship with the Father. Isn't that wonderful how He says that? You're not going to know the Father except I reveal it to Him. And then He turns around and makes a wonderful proclamation. Therefore, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened. Beloved, I am so saddened by what many Calvinists call the preaching of the gospel. They wouldn't know the gospel if it bit them in the foot. The gospel is preaching the gospel to every creature. God does the saving, and we know and we understand about divine election. We know all those things. But beloved, listen to me. Divine election is what makes the preaching of the gospel so glorious. Do you know that? He's the only one. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. And He's the express image of His person, of His nature, of His essence. Why? Because He is in the bosom of the Father, and He alone can declare the Father. That's what salvation is. This is why I like so much the older hymns, because they go into a lot more depth about this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Hebrews chapter 1, let me show you something. I want to give you too much this morning. I really want you to be able to take this with you and feed upon it and pray about it and think about it. Read these verses over again throughout the week. Pray that God give you understanding and open up your hearts. And read these verses that I've read to you before. They're even on the CD or on the tape if you want to get it. Read them over again. Beloved, it's worth laboring over. It really is. Verse 3. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. And I want to bring this to a close with this statement. He builds this thing up. He says, the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and He says, upholding all things by the word of His power. He just said in verse 2 that He created all the worlds. What's He mean by withholding, upholding all things by the word of His power? Well, when you uphold something, it means you're carrying something, you're supporting something. He's saying, I control everything. I am control of everything, even this salvation. Nobody can lose control of this salvation because I'm upholding it by the word of my power. It's a reference to preservation and government. In other words, Christ is not only the origin, the creator of all things, like in verse 2, by Him the worlds were made, but by Him, Jesus Christ alone, they are sustained, kept, and preserved. He keeps everything in order. He governs everything. He controls everything. Remember Isaiah says, the government shall be upon His shoulders? He's carrying that whole thing. Salvation is carried on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Salvation is upheld by Christ. He's talking about eternal preservation. Isn't it amazing that comes before He talks about purging our sins? Salvation is such a wonderful thing. That's why Ephesians starts out and is talking about salvation, election, called of God, all those things. You don't get to the blood of Jesus Christ, the actual pouring out of the blood, till verse 7. Six verses are all about God, and it's His plan of salvation. God's in control of it. God governs it. God is the divine sovereign authority of it. He preserves it. He keeps it. He ordains it. He's the one that has control of it. And then it gets to the blood and says, this is how you get it. But its origin is in me. I'm eternal, never changing. When I plan something, when I do something, it is eternal. It never changes. I will uphold it. I will carry it. I am the one that sustains it. Why do you say that? You know how many people in this world profess to be Christians and say you can lose your salvation? He upholds, He carries, He supports, He preserves, He governs all things by the word of His power. Let me give you another quote. Our friend John Brown of Haddington, again. Listen to this. He says, the whole universe hangs on His arm. His unsearchable wisdom and boundless power are manifested in governing, directing, and complicating moments of animate and inanimate, rational and irrational beings to the attainment of His own great and glorious purposes. What does that mean? He governs everything. The rational and irrational. The animate and the inanimate. He governs it all. He supports it all. He upholds it all. He does this by the word of His power without effort or difficulty. He speaks and it is done. It's all done by Him. Beloved, do you see what assurance the believer has before it even gets to Christ purging our sins by His own blood? Do you see the origin of salvation? It's all in God. How in the world could we ever lose the joy or satisfaction or excitement about Christ? It's because we lose sight of Jesus Christ and the excellency of His person and the glorious salvation that we have. Think about the hymns that we sing sometimes. And the depth of those hymns, how it exalts and glorifies God in our salvation. It's exciting to know here in Hebrews that God begins this wonderful salvation, this speaking unto us by His Son. He begins by beginning with His Son. He doesn't begin with sinful man's needs. He doesn't begin with our deplorable state. He begins with exalting His Son and saying, this is who is the author of this salvation. Amen? He's been appointed heir. He's made all the worlds to display His glorious salvation. He's the brightness of my glory, the Father said. He's the express image of my person, and He's going to uphold all these things. Now that you know that, He's purged your sins. That same glorious Jesus Christ, and He sat down. You see, He starts with the person of Christ. Christ will sustain, keep, preserve, govern, uphold this glorious work of salvation throughout all eternity. That's why the psalmist says, I will cry unto God, Psalm 57:6, I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You think He's talking about menial, worldly, temporal needs? God will perform everything necessary to keep, preserve, maintain my eternal salvation because of Jesus Christ, who has been appointed heir, who's made all the worlds, who's the brightness of His glory, express image of His person. He will uphold all of that. It's called a covenant-keeping God, eternally covenant-keeping God. He shall perform all things for me. Beloved, I close with this remark. The Lord has undertaken for us, and He will not draw back. He will go through with His covenant engagements as appointed heir, maker of the worlds, brightness of His glory, express image of His person. Christ shall uphold all things by the word of His power. All that is kept in Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. And next week, we begin to look at how Jesus Christ brings about that salvation, who has Himself purged our sins and sat down in the majesty on high. You don't sit down unless the work's finished. You ever notice in the Old Testament there was no chairs in the Holy of Holies? The priest couldn't sit down. Why? Because there was never a final, sufficient sacrifice. No place to sit down in the Holy of Holies. But the Bible says in Hebrews, when He's by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. What's sitting down imply? It means the work's over with. It is finished. So when you look at salvation, don't start. And it's not bad. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives us our sins. We worship and praise God for that. That was the work of Christ. But you'll never really exalt that work to its highest until you look at it through the excellency of the person of Jesus Christ. For that blood which poured out on Calvary for my sins came from the very body, soul, and heart of the Son of God, by whom God speaks unto me today. Beloved, salvation is an intimate, personal thing. I pray that you know Jesus Christ, not know of Him. Not know of Him, but that you know Him. If you don't, I pray you would. Amen. I love how He said that. No man knows the Father unless the Son reveals Him unto him. Therefore, come unto me. Glorious, wonderful, gracious God. Amen. Come to Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Plead for His mercy. Pray that God would open up your heart and your mind, that you might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that you might too realize this wonderful salvation is freely given in Christ. We taught in Sunday school about buying the truth. You know, there's one thing you can't buy, that's salvation. Isaiah says, come, buy without money. Buy without milk and bread. It's free. Salvation of Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that you'd come to know Him. And I pray, dearly beloved, if you are a Christian and saved, I pray that you'd meditate on these things. And I pray that I give you something to chew on. I hope you haven't choked on it, but I hope and pray I give you something to chew on, to meditate on, to think about. Don't let this so easily go by. Buy this truth and not sell it. Contemplate on the excellency of Jesus Christ. It will transform your entire Christianity. I guarantee you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, again, we thank You for Thy grace and Thy mercy, and we, Father, Lord, confess our inability to put into words, Father, Lord, the excellencies of such a person. Therefore, we trust in Thy Word, which alone can reveal unto us the excellency of Jesus Christ. O Father, why You have ordained a sinful, fallen man to be able to proclaim and declare such infinite and wonderful and majestic truths. Father, Lord, I stand amazed, and yet, Father, I pray that You would use our feeble efforts this morning to learn something more about the excellency of Thy Son. And yet, Father, I realize that, Father, if there's not labor put forth into this to know more of Jesus Christ, that, Father, Lord, all this will be fruitless and vain. I pray, O God, that You would stir in the hearts of Thy children. May we meditate on these things. May we think about these things. And, O Lord, may we find Jesus Christ anew, altogether lovely. We pray that, God, You would be with those that don't know You this morning. Lord, how I pray that, God, You would stir in their hearts and let them realize, Lord God, the great danger that they're in. That, Father, Lord, each minute, each heartbeat draws them closer to an eternity without God. Lord, I pray that they'd see the urgency of time. I pray that, God, You would burden their hearts that they might truly, Lord, come to know Thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God the Father, let the light shine out of darkness into their hearts that they might see Thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father, we pray throughout this day. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand.